In the name of God, who knits us all together in love. Amen. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm not sure why the lectionary writers leave out the first few verses in the Gospel of Mark for us to hear this morning. But this is the beginning of Mark. There's no birth story of Jesus. There's no recognition of Jesus in the temple. There's no naming of Jesus. No, Mark starts right here with the baptism of Jesus. Beginnings. We are in a time of beginnings. This is the time of year where people are making New Year's resolutions in hopes to change or to start something new, from losing weight to learning a new skill or trying to quit bad habits. Many of us have set goals. We feel like we are on the cusp of something new. Something is beginning. And today on this feast day, the baptism of our Lord, we as the church, we mark a time of beginning. We all get to renew. We get to begin again our life as the body of Christ. Just as we welcome these little children today as the newest members of our body. You know, I realized very early on in this vocation that one of the holiest and most joyful things I get to do is go to hospitals and bless newborn babies. I mean, there's nothing like holding a baby that's less than 24 hours old in your hands. It's an awe of life and God right there. And a few months ago, I was at the hospital and I was holding a newborn baby, and I was thinking to myself what a welcome moment of joy this was. I had been sitting that week with people who were dying or in grief and had been struggling with stress. And as I was holding that baby and thinking about all of that, a nurse comes in the room. She's got a small booklet and she begins to highlight all the markers and milestones that the baby would need to reach in its life. And after she had marked up her booklet, she handed the booklet to the parents and she said, "Well, okay, if you've got no further questions, here is your user guide. Congratulations." And I thought, these people need a little bit more than a user guide. They're going to need community. We know very little about Mark's understanding of Jesus' life and community before baptism. All Mark gives us is this description of Jesus coming out of the water and the heavens being torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him and a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son." And all the people who were there, they may not have known who Jesus was, but in that moment, they knew that Jesus was somehow connected to God. And then Jesus is immediately driven out into the wilderness alone to wrestle with Satan, with only the angels walking beside him. And when he comes back from the wilderness, the first thing he does is to begin to draw apostles to him. The first thing Jesus does is build community. He knows that he is not going to go at this all alone. And I think that that's important. Those around him, they may not have understood Jesus' connection to God and the Holy Spirit, but they knew they were being drawn into that connection. And we too, we approach the waters of baptism as individuals. But out of it, we're changed. We become something more than ourselves. We're all born with this inherent need for each other and an inherent need to belong and to belong to love. And in baptism, God's love is made known to us as we are made one with Christ and made one with each other. Our lives are woven together with the lives of others in this vast web of relationships that St. Paul calls the body of Christ. God weaves us together, knowing that we can never respond to the love of God if love is never offered in our own lives. And so baptism is God saying, "You belong to me, and you belong to each other." I think of my mother, my grandmother's beauty shop. It was on the end of her house, kind of like Steel Magnolias. And every afternoon after school, I would go there. And I knew the schedule because everybody came the same day every week to have their hair washed and set and teased. You know the story. And they taught me how to visit, as we like to say in the South. They taught me how to love and connect, and they wanted to know what was going on in my life, and they would ask me questions, and they would give me treats, and most of these were women from my church. You see, out of the promises that they made at my baptism, they supported me on my journey. And when they became feeble and homebound, I got to go sit with them. I had the honor of walking with them to glory. You see, that's how baptism knits us together. And when I look out at all of you, I see how truly blessed that you are. Because you're blessed because these children get you and you get them. I met a young man this week, actually, who goes to a non-denominational church. It's an upstart church. And he asked me, "Is your church old?" I said, "Well, I don't know what you mean by that." He said, "Do you have a lot of old people?" I said, "Well, that's a tricky thing to answer." I said, "You know, we've had 384 babies born in the last 4 years. We have people of all ages. How about that?" And he said, "Wow, do your people know how lucky they are?" And I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "The oldest person that we have in our church is in their 50s. Yeah, we've got youth and vitality, but we don't have wisdom. These children need you, and you need them. You're truly blessed." And today, we renew our relationship with God and each other in the promises that we make to these children. Today, we promise to take care of one another. We promise that when one member suffers, they all suffer. We promise that when one member is honored, we all celebrate. We promise that as members of the body of Christ, we'll live together in communion. So come now and let us welcome these children that are going to be knit into unity with Christ and unity with us. And let us help them know that in this holy mystery, we declare to them and God declares to them, "You are a part of me, and being a part of me, you are a part of me always." Amen.